All right, we are continuing our series that we've been walking through this entire school year. We're calling How to Win at High School, where we've been looking at the wisdom for the life you've always wanted, the experience you want to have in high school, whether you're in ninth grade or have a few months left of senior year. We've been walking through God's word and the wisdom for the life that you've always wanted. And so tonight, here's how we're gonna start. Have you ever seen or ever just observed people interacting with each other? It might be two people or a group of people, and you've had that thought in your mind, man, they seem to be really good friends. Or man, that friendship just seems like there's a lot of camaraderie and fun, and I want that. I want to experience that. I want to experience a friendship or have a friend just like that. Have you ever thought about that? I know I have. Even sometimes when you watch TV or see celebrities or see fictional characters interacting, you're like, man, that friendship seems amazing. And so as I was thinking about preparing for this message and what we're talking about tonight, I thought about, man, who are some of the famous or more well-known people that have or seem to have a great friendship? And I have a couple that I want to share with you to kick us off where we're going. So here's the first one. Justin Timberlake and Jimmy Fallon, yes, you agree? You've seen them all over, the dance moves, the bro love they have for one another. That's a classic friendship. Here's another one. Phineas and Ferb, of course, they're besties. What's the next one? I don't even know what the next one is. Oh, come on. I don't even remember their names. The four friends from Stranger Things. But they have an incredible friendship, or so it seems from how they're portrayed in that show. What's the next one? Come on. To go on four incredible adventures and to end the way it did, spoiler alert, it's a good one. Woody and Buzz. And I think there's one more. Before 2021, they were best friends. And then they all started to put out songs about one another, and it's terrible, and their friendship is over. That one's just for fun, all of the random drama, made up, in my opinion, for the advancement of their musical careers. But anyways, let's keep going. I just wanted us to think about that or get in that space of thinking about friendships or relationships that we look at and we say, man, I want the closeness, the camaraderie that I see or experience there. Because we all know and would agree with the reality that great friendships are essential to making it through every season of life, right? Great friendships are essential to making it through every season of life, especially high school. Because high school is tough, obviously. You know, there's making grades, there's making the team, there's pleasing your parents, there's being in the right social group, there's deciding on your future, and all the other ups and downs that come with your high school experience. It's tough. And so having friends, great friends, along for that journey is absolutely essential. I think we can all agree. And so I want to just give us a quick definition of a friend as we move on into this message. A friend is a faithful companion through the ups and downs of life. Pretty simple, pretty straightforward. A friend is a faithful companion, someone who's with you, walking along the journey of these 4 years in high school through the ups and downs of life. And so let me ask you a few questions that I'd encourage you to grab your journal and write these down or just kind of follow along with these questions. If I were to ask you, if you and I were sitting down over lunch, one-on-one, or with your small group, and I were to ask you, who are your friends? Who are the three names, or three to five names that immediately come to your mind? Truly, I want you to do this. Grab your phone, grab your journal, like write down who comes to your mind. Don't worry, it's not set in stone. You're not making a case for all time. But as I say that, who are your friends? Who are the names that come to your mind? Who are the three to five names? You know, people, write down their names really quickly in your journal. Who are the first three to five people that come to your mind? I want you to think about those people throughout this message. And I also want you to think about another question or two questions. Why do you consider them to be your friend? Like, what's unique about your relationship or your friendship with them that when I asked who are your friends, that person came to your mind, right? And then the other side of that, would those people, the 3 to 5 that you wrote down, or maybe it's more, maybe it's a little less, would those people consider you to be their friend? Make sense? Would they consider you to be their friend? And why? Why would they write down your name if they were writing it down right now? And the reason I'm asking those questions or trying to start that conversation is because one of the most important decisions that you'll make in high school is your choice of friends. One of the most important decisions that you're going to make or that you have already made is your choice of friends. I think it's such an essential thing. In fact, when I, over this summer, I asked a question on Instagram and, you know, different people responded. And the question was, what's the hardest thing about being a high schooler in Dallas? And obviously there were the typical ones of like, you know, schoolwork and stress and performance or getting on a team or social standing and all of those different things. Tons of those answers came in. But you know what was interesting that I didn't expect? I mean, by far and away, not even close. Like if I were to give a percentage to the responses, this was the response like 80% of the time, truly. It was friendships, like relationships where you're figuring out, hey, is this a friend group I should be in? Should I move on from this friend group? How should I work through this friend drama? There were so many responses related to friendship. And that's why I think that it's one of the most important decisions that you'll make in high school, because that's what a representative group of your peers said. So tonight, for the next few moments, we're going to look at how to find friends, how to find great friends, and be a great friend in high school. How to find great friends and be a great friend to others in high school. And to do this, we must develop a healthy theology of friendship. And that's just a fancy way of saying, what does God have to say about being a great friend and what a great friend should look like? And so we're going to spend the next few moments looking really quickly at them, at 6 principles to help you find great friends and to be a great friend. So it won't be exhaustive. We won't go into huge detail with every single one of them, but I wanted to present to you 6 principles that I think if you embrace them, if you understand them, if you live them out, that you'll be a great friend to the people in your life, and you will know what to look for in others to be those great friends for you. All right, so I'm going to jump right into the first principle that I want to share with us tonight. If you want to find great friends and be a great friend in high school, here's the first thing, the first principle to understand. You were created with the desire to be a friend and to need friends. That's just a fact of biological, psychological life. It's a part of being human. That we were meant to not be alone, that we were meant to be in relationship, that we were meant to be known and accepted, as some would say. You were created with the desire to be a friend and to need friends. Here's a verse of scripture that you've probably heard before that kind of illustrates this point. Ecclesiastes, it's in the middle of your Old Testament. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12 illustrate this point that you were created with the desire to be a friend and to need friends. It says this, 2 are better than 1 because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, what can happen? One can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no friends and has no one to help them up. Also, if 2 lie down together, they'll keep each other warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, 2 can defend themselves. A cord of 3 strands is not quickly broken. And so there's several metaphors in there that indicate to us that life is better. Life thrives when you are in relationship and friendship with others. You are created with a desire to have great friends and to be a great friend to others. How many of you guys maybe in the room have had COVID or been exposed to someone with COVID and had to quarantine? Yeah, let me see. Oh my goodness, the whole room. Okay, maybe I'm talking to a small subsection of that, but like if you had to quarantine, like even from your family and you were in your room stuck and they were like passing you plates under the door and you're like, am I in prison, right? Think about that moment. Think about like, put yourself in that situation where you're quarantined. There's only so much Netflix you can watch, or only so much video games you can play, or only so much scrolling on social media before you keep refreshing and it's the same things at the top of your feed, right? After a while, even though it might have been fun at the beginning, you're like, I gotta get free. I need to be around people. I need to, you know, like build relationships, have fun with people in my life. Like that's just a tiny example, a small experience that a lot of us have gotten to experience, unfortunately, over the last little while. You were created with a desire to be with people, to be in relationship, to be connected with others. The second principle is this: great friendship starts with and is sustained by Christ. Great friendship starts with and is sustained by Christ. Now, if you're in the room and you're skeptical about Christianity or you're a guest, man, I'm so glad that you're here. And all that I'm talking about tonight is really helpful advice for you. But this principle, I think, is a key of all the six principles that I'll be sharing tonight. That really, friendships can be built on common interests or proximity or personalities that maybe click better together. But the reality is, what happens when the personalities start to become different? What happens when there's conflict? If there's not a foundation that sustains that friendship, it's so easy for it to be destroyed or to collapse. But there's one foundation upon which friendships just won't if you allow it to be true in your life. And that is that great friendships start with and is sustained by the Savior of the world. Here's what John 15, verses 13 through 15 has to say. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples like, you know, days before he would be crucified to die for the sins of the entire world. He's talking to them, and by extension, he's talking to us. John 15, 13 through 15. He says this: greater love has no one than this, to lay one's life down for one's friends. If you've ever heard that before in a movie, out in someone's quoting it, they got it from the Bible. Greater love has no one than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And so you have no greater love than the fact that the Savior of the world, the Creator of the world, decided that he wanted to save you, that you are broken, that you are prone to run from the God who is and run from his way of life. God sent his Son to bring you back into friendship and relationship with him because you couldn't do it on your own. And so Jesus, in his death, his burial, and his resurrection, purchased for you, for me, the opportunity to be reconciled with God, to be a friend of God. Isn't that crazy to even think about? Here's what he says in verse 14. To his disciples then and to his disciples now that place their faith and trust in him. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. I love that last phrase. And if you're a follower of Jesus, he is talking to you. And if you're not, this is a great opportunity to place your faith and trust in him. He says, I have called you friends. You, high schooler in 2021, are a friend of Jesus Christ, our Lord, because of what he did on your behalf. The greatest expression of love was made for us when God demonstrated his love through Christ. And because of that sacrifice, we now have the opportunity for friendship with God. But in addition to the reconciled right relationship with God, we now have the opportunity for reconciled relationships with each other, with our friends. And because of God's common grace that he offers to all humanity, whether they trust him or not, friendships can stay together with people who don't know who God is or reject him. But friendships last forever when they are started and sustained by Christ. And so here's the kind of main idea that that this message is going to land at, is that Jesus went to great lengths to be your friend, to allow you to be his friend, a part of his family. Jesus went to great lengths to be your friend, and he provides what you need to be a great friend to others. So it's not your skill, it's not your personality, it's not how you jive together, it's not your common interest. Those things help and contribute, but a great friendship starts with and is sustained by Christ. That's a great example, great principle to understand. Here's the third one, we'll keep moving. You will eventually become like the people you spend the most of your time with. You will eventually become like the people you spend most of your time with. Proverbs 13:20, if you've never read it, you should read it, you should memorize it. It says this, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. And so that proverb is basically presenting us with the idea, the people that you spend a lot of time with, you are going to become like them. And I have a clear example of that in my own life. When I was in seminary, I lived with an Australian, a Northern Irishman, and an American who was from Israel. And so and I'm from Jamaica. And so there's tons of accents in this same house. I think we have a picture of us 7 years ago. I don't even know what those shorts are. But we purposefully bought those shirts to have the superhero, whatever. I don't even know what it was for. But those are my roommates when I was in seminary. And there's lots of accents. There's lots of great conversations. And I would catch myself trying to, or just naturally talking like a Northern, or trying to talk like an Australian, or talk like a Northern Irishman. And I'd be like, mate, I've watched the footy match, and it was absolutely fantastic. Do you reckon we have any pizza left? And they'd look at me like, what are you doing? Why are you talking like that? And it was because I was spending so much time with them. Even today, when we like FaceTime, and I talk to them for like an hour on the phone, and then I go and talk to my wife, she's like, your accent is changing. You're starting to talk like them because you've been around them so much. We know that, right? You spend a lot of time with people, and you become like them. So if you spend your time with foul-mouthed people, you know what you're likely to become? A foul-mouthed person. If you spend your time around people that work hard in school, you're more likely to work hard. If you spend your time around people who drink and party and chase pleasure, guess what you're most likely to do? If you spend time around someone who's committed to walking with God in high school, if that's what you decide, if that's who you surround yourself with, guess what? You're going to be encouraged to do the same thing. So here's a couple questions I want you to maybe write down, to reflect on, to think about even after this message. Who are you becoming because of the people that you spend the most time with? Who are you becoming because of the people that you spend the most time with? And the other side of that, who are other people becoming because they're spending time with you? Make sense? So who are you becoming because of the people you're spending most of your time with? And how are you influencing them and the kind of person they're becoming because they're spending time with you? Those are tough questions, right? Convicting questions. Here's number four, the fourth principle, is that a great friend makes life more fun. A great friend makes life more fun. I love this verse, Proverbs 11:25. It's really like one of the verses that my family, we want to value and live out at all times. It says this, the generous will prosper. So we want to be marked by generosity with our time, with our talents, with our treasure that the Lord has given us. And here's what the second part, I love what the second part says, that those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. And not so much the will themselves be refreshed, but those who refresh others. I want you to think about that, that imagery of people who are refreshing to other people. I love that. You know that person that you're like, you hear that they're coming on the trip, or they walk into the room, and inside you're like, yes, I'm so glad they're here. because it's going to be so much more fun, or they're going to bring so much more encouragement or peace or joy. I'm just glad that person is around because they are refreshing. And that's the kind of person that I want to be. Some of you guys know that my wife gave birth to our firstborn son, Winslow. Yeah, there he is, just chilling. It's so fun. His name is Winslow, if you didn't catch that. And man, I want him to be marked by what I just talked about. I want that as he grows up, that he trusts God, that he places his faith in who God is and in the sacrifice of Christ, and that he becomes a refreshing person. That whenever he's around, whatever room he walks into, people are glad that he's there, that he makes life more fun. So if you think about it and you're praying for him, pray that prayer for him. And you can do the same thing. You can refresh others by creating clean fun, by offering words of encouragement, by sharing a resource that your family might be blessed to have. A great friend is a there you are person, right? In this world of here I am, look at me, a there you are person stands out. And so here's what a there you are person does or is marked by. A there you are person makes the invitation instead of waiting to be invited. Don't worry, you don't have to write this all down. You can screenshot it, whatever. A there you are person makes the invitation versus waiting to be invited. A there you are person sends the text instead of waiting to be texted. A there you are person introduces themselves instead of waiting for others to go first. A there you are person focuses on similarities instead of on differences. A there you are person puts other people at ease instead of putting them on edge. A there you are person looks to serve versus looking to be served. Man, that person is fun to be around. Does that mark you? Is that the kind of friend that you are? Are those the kind of qualities that mark the people that are closest to you? I hope it's true. Number five, a great friend tells you the truth even when it would be easier not to. A great friend tells you the truth even when it would be easier not to. A couple of verses with that. Proverbs 27:6, it says this, wounds from a friend can be trusted. Does a wound hurt? Yes. Wounds from a friend can be trusted. Sometimes what you have to say in a kind, gracious, and loving, but still truthful way might be hurtful to that person, but it might be the best thing for them to hear. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. So there might be someone who always compliments you, who always says nice things to you in front of your face, and you think, man, that's a really good friend. But behind your back, they're saying the complete opposite. That's not your friend. Your friend is someone who loves you enough to tell you the truth to your face in a loving and kind way. One of my local youth pastors growing up said this quote. He probably stole it from somewhere, but I love it still. It says, a friend loves you the way you are, but loves you too much to leave you the way you are. In other words, a great friend is committed to your growth and your development, right? They love you exactly as you are. They know you. They accept you. They welcome you in. But as you guys walk on the journey of life together, a great friend says, hey, I notice how you were mean to that other person, or how you said that sarcastic comment and it didn't land well with that person. I think you need to go have a conversation with them. I think you need to ask for forgiveness. I think you need to communicate that you were hurt. A true friend, a great friend, tells you the truth, even when it would be easier not to. Of course, it's easier not to confront and have a hard conversation, but great friends do it. It's clear from God's word. Lastly, if you want to be a great friend and find great friends in high school, the last one I want to share for tonight is a great friend is present in the hard times. A great friend is present in the hard times. Proverbs 17:17 says this, a friend loves at all times, even when it's hard, even when it's tough, even when there's great challenge in life. And a brother is born for a time of adversity. Another proverb, Proverbs 18:24 says this, one who has unreliable friends comes to ruin, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And I love those two verses, especially in the world that we're living in right now, because if you haven't noticed, man, this world is broken. Yes, we experience good and blessing from the Lord, but man, there are a lot of hard times. And one of the greatest gifts that you and I can experience in moments of deep pain, hurt, sickness, disease, frustration, maybe even death, is a loyal friend. A friend that sticks around and says, I'm with you, I'm here, no matter what. And so I want to challenge you or encourage you, man, be a kind of the kind of person that can be counted on, the kind of person that keeps, that makes and keeps their commitments. We all know that friend who, when you say something or invite them to something, the text is, oh, maybe I'll be there. I'll definitely, probably, potentially make it. Be a person that's a person of your word that can be counted on in, you know, normal times and in very difficult times. A couple years ago, I was driving down 75 and literally my car almost exploded. Like, I was driving and the steering wheel stopped being able to steer and I pulled off to the side of the road and there was smoke starting to come out of the hood and there was smoke filling up the car and I was like, this car is literally about to explode. So I got out and I started to run away just in case and I'm literally on the side of 75 about to die in my car. But in that moment, I was like, who can I call to come pick me up, to come help me out of this situation? And I knew exactly the people to call, exactly the people to text. And it wasn't AAA, it was actual friends. Because I knew I could count on them. And I also knew of people that if I called or texted, they'd be like, yeah, I'll be there. I'll make it, maybe, potentially, probably. You want to be in the category of someone who can be counted on. In emergency situations, in pressure situations. So the question is, can you be counted on in pressure or emergency situations? Can your word be trusted? And man, maybe even more personal than that, like who is someone you know, a real human, who is going through a tough time, whether it be sickness, you know, parents lost their jobs because of COVID or, you know, whatever the challenge might be. Who is going through a hard time right now that you, not someone else, but you can be present for and be a friend that loves at all times. Man, I could keep going. I could have made a list of 20 things, but I think if I had one chance to talk to you about how to be a great friend and make how to make great friends and to be a great friend in high school, that's what I would share with you. And so just in conclusion, Jesus went to great lengths to be your friend. And he provides you with what you need. And so all the things I just talked about, it's not you doing it all on your own. It's you daily saying, Lord, help me. Help me to be someone who tells the truth even when it hurts. Help me to be someone who's present even when it's difficult. Help me to be someone who makes life fun. Help me to be someone who is a positive influence on those around me. So by way of application, here's what I want to share with you. Some of you honestly just need to reevaluate your friends. And I know that's really hard. It's really scary and risky to do in high school because what if you evaluate your friends and you're like, these just aren't the people I should be spending the majority of my time with. I realize that that is a scary proposition, but it might be exactly what you need to do. So, do the people I call my friends fit this description that we just talked about? Those principles. Not perfectly, but do they by and large fit this description? Do I fit this description? Ask yourself that question honestly and earnestly. And do I need to change my friend group? Maybe that's what the Lord is leading you to next. And maybe a more vulnerable application is to take a screenshot of your notes. You know, whether you've written it in a journal or on your phone, take a screenshot of your notes. And send it to the 3 to 5 people that you wrote down when you thought about who your friends are at the beginning of this message. I say, hey, I want to be a friend like this that we talked about from God's word tonight, and I want you to be a friend like that to me. That's a vulnerable thing to do, right? But it might be one of the best things that you could ever do in your high school experience. Some of you, maybe your application is, I don't have any friends. Maybe I felt like I don't need them. And you just need to trust in the Lord, join a small group, or you might need to join a community group and surround yourself with people that love you and that will tell you the truth, that will have fun, that will be present for you in hard times. I'm just giving you a couple of examples, but those are some great points of application from this message. This last week, I've been reading this book for a while, Pilgrim's Progress. You guys have ever heard of it? Yeah, some of you have read it, some of you have read it. This book is a really old book, and it's a metaphor. The whole book is a metaphor for the Christian life. And so it's this guy named Christian, and he's on this journey from his hometown, and he's going to the celestial city, heaven. Right? And along the way, he has different experiences. He has different companions that go with him, and he experiences the highs and lows of life. Everything that happens is supposed to point to something that can happen in real life. And so at this point in the book that I was reading this last week, Christian and his friend Hopeful were on this road, and they got sidetracked, and they got trapped by the giant called despair. And so it's like this metaphor of that feeling of hopelessness feels like a giant, right? And in the story, the giant takes them and throws them in the dungeon, and he beats them night after night. And they're like, are we ever going to get free? Are we ever going to escape this giant's clutches? Are we ever going to escape the despair that we feel right now? And you read the story, and the giant's wife tells him to tell Christian and Hopeful, hey, you guys are never getting out. You're gonna die here. So you might as well just take your own life. And Christian is like, actually, that might be a good idea. Maybe I should take my life. And he's like processing this. And his friend, Hopeful, is like, bro, don't do it. He doesn't say that because it's old English, but basically that's what he's saying. Bro, don't do it. And he's like considering it every time the giant of despair comes and beats them over the head and punishes them and keeps them in prison. He's like, man, I should just take my life. And his friend, Hopeful, continues to encourage him, continues to spur him on, continues to be there for him and with him during the darkest moments of his life. And eventually, Christian remembers the promises of God, and the promises of God are this key that let them through all of the doors in the dungeon, and they're free, and they move on in their journey with onto the celestial city. But up until the point where he finally remembers the promises of God and God's word, you know what sustained him, you know what strengthened him, you know what helped him through? His friend, Hopeful. And wouldn't we all do well to have a hopeful friend in our lives? Someone that points us to the hope that's found in Jesus. Someone that strengthens us when we're weary. Someone that helps us when we are tired and broken and can't stand on our own. Man, I pray that you have friends like that in your life. I pray that you would be a friend like that to others in your life. I pray that this message would help you just kind of evaluate all of that. So we're gonna, I'm gonna pray, and then we're gonna sing a song of reflection, and then I'll jump back up and give us an opportunity to really sit in this moment and do something that we haven't done before. Let me pray. Lord, thank you so much for these students, and thank you for what your word has to say about being a great friend and finding great friends. I pray that every single one of these students will be marked by the principles we walk through in your word tonight. I pray that they would be great friends, and that they would surround themselves with great friends, and that they would be reminded of the fact that it's only through Jesus that a great friendship is started and sustained. I pray that your gospel would ring true in the hearts and lives of students tonight. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.